Welcome to the Bingers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or X. Facebook, Instagram, and X. At Bingers Podcast. A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. But I'm just one of your hosts. I can't do it alone. Emmy, how you doing?
I am blue.
If I was green, I would die. Clinton, I'm in need of a guy. How you doing, sir? All right, we're reviewing Blue Beetle. We're a little rusty. We took 2 weeks off, but we're back, baby. Back.
Speak for yourself, baby.
Okay, I'm back. Clinton's just floating.
Brandon's rusty, Clinton's polished. Let's go.
Emmy, just ride along. Her and Keith holding
I held down the fort, man.
Her and Keith holding down the fort for us. Keith, by the way, shout out to you, buddy. Thank you so much
for enduring, Emmy. We appreciate that.
It takes a lot.
You know what? I already thanked him for that, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, we're thanking you. Guys, we're reviewing Blue Beetle. It's our alter ego of the Avengers Podcast. It is DC's nuts. It is our podcast where we review. We need to make like handles. DC's nuts. We need to do a whole like alter ego. Anyway, this is our podcast where we review DC related content. So I'm excited to talk about the DC verse and see what they're up to over there on James Gunn's side of the fence post. So do not listen any further if you have not watched Blue Beetle. Don't listen any further. Okay. We're going to be spoiling it. So here's your spoiler alert. Go away. Bye. See ya. You still here? That means you either don't care about Blue Beetle or you're cool. You've already seen it. Okay. So who wants to go first? I'm not going.
I'll start.
All right. Clinton, what did you think?
I went and watched this movie twice in theaters.
God damn.
I can tell you liked it because you wouldn't see it a second time if you didn't.
Well, no, actually a friend wanted me to go watch it with him the second time.
But you still agreed.
I enjoyed. Okay, so I enjoyed this movie a lot. I love Sholo. I can never pronounce his last name correctly.
Hold on, I have it pulled up. Mari Duena?
Maybe. Love him in Cobra Kai. I thought he was a perfect casting choice for Jaime. I love the whole hero origin side of this movie. I love the family dynamic. I think they play a big part. George Lopez, fantastic. Just the heartfelt family culture that's set up. Love that, how he's fighting. I just thought it was a solid origin story. I thought the villain was weak. I thought it was just your run-of-the-mill cookie-cutter top villain. But that didn't take it away from me because I felt like the focal point was the family and his origin and standing for his family. And I don't know. I really enjoyed this movie. There's a few laughs I have. I think using practical for the Blue Beetle costume in most scenes. Obviously, they use CG too, but I love the practical outfit. I think his costume or whatever we call it, his
uniform.
It looks incredible. I think it's great. I think Sholo kills the role. I think he's great as Jaime. I don't know. I had a good time with this movie, and I really hate that it did bad in the box office, but it is during the writer's strike. They didn't get to market like they needed to and things like that. But I really hope this is supposed to be the first movie for the DCU.
Yep.
Even though it was done pre-Gun era.
Yep. But it's still the first DCU movie. Yes.
Yes. And even if they don't do a sequel, I want to see him again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I had fun with the movie. I liked it a lot.
Okay. I would say Emmy next, but she just took a big bite of, I don't know, chips or something. Emmy, if you...
Tums.
She's been dating this guy Tums for a few weeks now, and it's going really, really well. She just starts biting him in the middle of the show. It's really awkward.
yeah, his name's Tums.
Sorry.
Oh man, that's a little throwback from a couple months ago, huh?
Little throwback to the Secret Invasion review. Anyway, still one of my favorite clips. Like, I cry listening to that clip. Anyway, I will go next. I think the family dynamic in this movie is outstanding. I think George Lopez is easily the best part of this movie for me. I thought he was just so fun, charismatic, just quippy, and it's George Lopez. I don't know. He's just a lovable guy to me. He just seems like a dude who, I don't know. There's like certain actors, like Robin Williams, anytime you see, oh gosh, he's just a lovable guy. You can't.
Jim Carrey.
Jack Black.
Jack Black. I would agree with that. Jim Carrey depends on the movie. Cable Guy freaks me out. But like,
fuck you, Brandon.
But I will tell you this also, Blue Beetle, not my cup of tea. Did not care for this movie. I really did not like it. I felt it was the run-of-the-mill generic superhero story. I love the family dynamic. I love George Lopez. That's where my like for this movie ends. Some of the acting was god awful or cringy to me. Some of the storytelling was done in very poor fashion. Like, every time we had to hear about what's her name, Jenny Cord, her backstory, it was all because she had to sit there and talk about it instead of we showing this relationship or showing. It's just constant, let me tell you about it. And then she was always emotional. And Blue Beetle guy, Jamie, I know his name's not Jamie, but hey, he would just sit there and she's like, you're really a good listener. And she would just start crying. And I'm like, yeah, there's no dialogue going back and forth. Either way, it just felt shoehorned and fit. And then it felt like, okay, it really did. Let me tell you all about my dad. Let me tell you all about, and then like,
but Ted Kord's a big part of Blue Beetle.
I understand. So, I never felt that from this movie. I felt like
were trying to tease him more than they were trying to make you feel his presence.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I just don't like being teased. I don't know. Susan Sarandon.
Terrible in this movie.
Insert generic villain A.
I thought her acting was not good in this movie.
Garbage. Oh my god.
She felt every line she had was just like, that's what I was talking about with the villain. It just felt, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brandon. It just felt, I will agree with you there, that whole side of it felt just cringy in some spots. And it's her, like, I don't feel like she delivers it well. She just like, it's that energy of like, I'm the villain. Mm-hmm. There's no real reason. I don't feel for the villain. I don't have any like,
I just felt like I feel like I've seen this type of story done better in Ant-Man or Spider-Man or Iron Man. It felt like I'd seen everything about this movie done better in the MCU. Holy shit. I'm saying it, but it just felt like, okay, this is the future of the army. And this is the future of tech. It felt like Iron Man 2 with Justin Hammer. It felt very similar to the Wasp in the very first Ant-Man movie. I just was like, oh, this has been said better before. You know, he's also like learning to fly and do his suit. Pretty cool. Great. I thought I saw it better in the first Iron Man movie. I like everything. And I know that sounds horrible to say, but I also think that gets to the point of superhero tropes and superhero fatigue where, okay, I've seen this. I feel like I'm seeing this, whether it was in Ant-Man or Iron Man. I think I've seen it. Oh, cool. Look at these little claw things that are coming out of his Blue Beetle suit. I've seen the Iron Spider before. Everything just felt like I've seen this. It didn't feel original. It didn't feel, oh, okay, cool. Even the Iron Man, the Blue Beetle suit felt very similar to the Igor blue suit from Iron Man 3. I think it's the Mark 38.
Really?
Yeah. I know it's a bigger, chunkier suit, but still the similar colors. And it felt like, I don't know, everything about the movie. Oh, he's stuck in a cave and an older mentor is going to help break him out. Cool. Seen that before too. I feel like I've seen everything about this movie in the MCU in a different way with far less cheesy acting. So yeah. And then, oh, of course, cause she's rich and she's got a lot of money and they're struggling and, oh, we know how this is going to end. It's the fairy tale ending. Cool. Great. Awesome. Awesome. Just, I could see, I don't know. I just really was. And then like the father is like, hey, taking everything away. And the father was like, hey, I don't know what my purpose is, but chill out, all right? And then he goes and he's like, hey, I found out. My purpose is to tell you you're not dying yet. Okay, bye. Like, I was like, oh my God.
That part was a little cheesy.
Oh, the whole movie felt like that to me. Like, I'm sorry, the whole movie just.
I thought it felt sentimental, like with the family and the dad. I loved that.
Another standout is Belissa. She was the sister, loved her in this movie. I thought she was fantastic. Almost every scene, she just felt like I could bond with her. She was really, really fun. There were good elements to this movie, but good elements don't make a good movie. Poor storytelling. Generic formula for a villain, and feeling like I'm rehashing a lot of the things I've seen done better in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. No, this movie wasn't it for me. Didn't care for it. So, Blue Beetle, eh. And I know I'm in the minority because I actually was hearing all these good reviews before I went in. So I actually probably went in with too high expectations, but wasn't it for me. Didn't like it.
So I absolutely love the representation. Absolutely love the representation. I really liked the story, but it is interesting to hear Brandon bring up some of those points because it was very, I've seen this before in the MCU. For example, the ancestral plane in Black Panther, that is what that scene with the father reminded me of. The Iron Man flying fighting, that's what all that reminded me of. Even when Susan Sarandon is on the helicopter, I was like, I've seen this in Ant-Man. Like, it was just kind of like they took bits and pieces of good things from the MCU and put it into this movie. And I don't know if it's superhero fatigue or if it's just that it wasn't as original as I wanted it to be. But I get where you're coming from.
Alberto Reyes also looked like one of the Hammer drones to me.
Yes. Yeah. It was very Iron Man 2. Like, it felt.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Reminded the person I actually watched the movie with was like, oh, Amy's going to be able to not say Iron Man 2. I thought the same thing with the Whiplash.
I can't blame her.
With the whip.
I can't blame her. I can't. At this point, yeah. It's, how could you not? Sorry, Amy.
It felt like something that I'd seen before. What I will say, though, is I liked that it was focused on family because we have so many heroes that don't have family or have a very limited family.
And they lean on that a lot in the movies. Like,
yeah,
I'm alone.
I can't tell Aunt May because then she's in danger. And like, this was all, everybody knew who he was. Everybody knew everybody was in danger. And so I like that it flipped that on its head. I love the representation. When Black Panther came out, my students absolutely went apeshit for that movie. We have a very diverse population, and honestly, we're probably 33%, 33%, 33%, like Black, white, and Latina, or Hispanic. Latinx, or whatever, Hispanic. But my students haven't been as about this movie, and I was kind of like talking that through because it's been out for a couple weeks now, hasn't it? And I was talking to one of my teachers about that.
Yes.
And she was just like, I mean, it's DC. It doesn't have the same following. And I agree.
Yeah.
And like you said, the writer's strike, they weren't able to promote it as much as they were. But yeah, it just kind of, it was good. I enjoyed it. But it also felt like something I've seen before. It was also just a touch too long, in my opinion.
Yes.
George Lopez, 100%, was my favorite part.
MVP.
Second favorite was probably the sister, and third was Nana. Oh my gosh, she was amazing.
Yeah. So I definitely think that this movie is very divisive, and so I'm very curious because I want to get to the Rotten Tomatoes score because I. Had I not, and I didn't look up Rotten Tomatoes, but I did read a few good reviews. Like, there were multiple websites. Hey, Blue Beetle turns out to be a good entry into the DC, or hey, it has strong family connections. Like, that's the reviews I read going into the movie. Most of them generally positive. And that's actually what got me excited to see this movie. I was like, okay, all right, DCU, here we go. So part of me, if I had not read any of those reviews, I swear to you, 26%. That's where I would land for Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
For critics. That's what I thought of this movie. I'm like, one out of four people is going to enjoy this. But also, you two liked it, and I didn't. So I've read a bunch of positive reviews. I'm quickly realizing I'm the minority here.
I will say real quick, DC did the same shit with The Flash. Mm-hmm. They hyped it up. I tried to start watching that the other night.
Ooh, we need to bring you on and like edit you into Quibinge and like feature your thoughts.
Oh my God.
No spoilers. Fucking,
I watched 45 minutes of it and it was cringy as hell. Yeah. I was like, this is terrible.
I actually like The Flash more than I liked Blue Beetle. God, we're
No way.
Oh, there was parts of it I liked more, but at the end of the day, it was still. Okay, so I'm going to guess. I'm such an asshole. 40% critics.
Let's say 69.
Yeah.
All right. Critics gave it a 78%.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
But audiences gave it a 92%.
I'm going to be hated. I'm going to be so hated.
I think the positives of the movie really overshadow the negatives, in my opinion.
I can only think of two positives. Sorry, go on.
IMDb gave it a 6.7, and 92% of Google users like this movie.
God bless. I'm in the wrong. I'm okay.
No, it's okay.
I feel how I feel. I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course.
I know.
Your feelings are valid.
I know, but
we love that for you. That's the same energy for me.
Bless
you,
Alexis.
We love that for you.
I love that for you.
I hate it.
We love that for you.
But you love Alexis, right?
Yeah, I love
a little bit of Alexis.
Yeah, from watching her, but you love her because how ridiculous she is. Mm-hmm. If someone was like that in real life, can't be around. I'm sorry. Not it for me. I'm not your person.
So Renee started watching Schitt's Creek.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
I can't believe. Like, I just watched clips of it. I haven't seen the show yet, but like between Andrew, it's Andrew, right? Is that his name?
David.
David, God.
David.
Sorry. She says it 500 times. David. Like,
David.
I've told you to watch this show forever.
I'm starting to see why you did. Because
it's so good. It's a little slow in the beginning, first season.
Yeah. It's funny.
Man, it's...
Because Renee and I both work from home sometimes, and I can hear her down the hall watching it and just laughing.
That's me. That's how it was. Almost every episode, there's a laugh out loud moment for me. It's so good. Yeah. And it's hard. I don't know. I love that. It's such a good show. It's the new Office for me.
Yeah. And the theme song gives me the Office vibes. Like, it's got that classic, like, you're going to remember this.
It's not anything humor like The Office, but it's the first show since The Office that made me feel that way.
That's a big compliment.
It feels special. It's like my comfort show.
Bullshit. Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec was also.
I didn't watch Parks and Rec.
I love Parks and Rec. But the last season kind of pulled me out. Wasn't the biggest fan, but I feel like these shows
after The Office, they were the trendsetters, right? They made shows like Parks and Rec to start. Yeah, yeah. And Schitt's Creek was its own new thing. It felt like, and I loved that. It just felt fresh and sweet and funny. I don't know.
All right. So
after I watched it, I had the T-Rex hands like Alexis does for at least a full 2 months after.
I probably watched.
Couldn't stop doing it.
All those episodes, I've probably seen all seasons about four times.
That's crazy.
It's so good.
It's just my comfort. I can go to that show anytime. I love it. It just makes me feel a type of way.
Before I met my lovely wife, I lived by myself and I had no cable and I was fine with that. I didn't have Netflix. I didn't have Hulu. I didn't have any streaming service.
Brandon, this was 72. They didn't exist.
So when I put on my laser disc, I always watched like Lord of the Rings and Marvel was out through the Avengers on Blu-ray at that point. So I watched the first phase one of the MCU I've seen more than any other phase because I watched it over and over and over, Lord of the Rings over and over and over. And that was it. And it was so phenomenal, but it was comfort to me. And I have seasons. Mm-hmm. Like I have Always Sunny, the first four seasons. I have, Aqua Teen, a lot of just TV shows. That 70 show, that was a comfort show for a while for me. And The Office.
It just makes you feel at peace because it reminds you of like a time when things were simple. I don't know. I agree with that.
Back in 1970, whoop-de-doo, back when times were simple and we didn't have no computers in our pockets.
Emmy, what's your comfort show?
Oh God, my comfort show. Well, right now it's Dear Victor. But no, one that I go back to.
I think you mean Dick Victor.
It can't be a porno, Emmy.
You know what though? Okay, this is funny. Okay, when I was feeling the seasonal affective disorder last January, I went back and rewatched this seasonal affective disorder. Whenever you get sad in January because it's cold and there's no holidays.
Is that a real thing?
I thought it was seasonal depressive, like seasonal depression.
Seasonal
depressive disorder.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, it spells out sad. Whenever you're sad, I was feeling that like sadness, and I put on Squid Games and watched that motherfucker. Oh,
that's the movie.
That might be my comfort.
Or that's the show. Excuse me. That's the show you used for comfort was Squid Games.
For comfort was Squid Game. I'm so excited for the next season. I don't know. It's so weird.
I think when you name your comfort show, it says a lot about your character and who you are as a person.
Yeah. Yep.
What does that say about Emmy? What the fuck? I still don't know.
Psychopath.
Okay, cool. I was hoping we were connecting the
dots. Sociopath. Yeah. Okay.
Golly.
Oh, sorry. I'm just politically incorrect now.
Apparently. Well, it's two different things. I think psychopath doesn't have empathy. I have empathy.
It's funny. I'm looking through my shows.
No, you don't. You do not have empathy. You have sympathy. You can do sympathy. I know personally you don't have empathy.
Maybe I am a sociopath.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Have sympathy. That's good. But
sympathy,
I don't,
but the empathy is lacking for sure. Like, you're just like, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't think you can put yourself in people's shoes.
Yeah, I can. You just have to take your shoes off first.
I
think you have sympathy for sure, because I've seen that, but I don't. And that's not a dig. You can't help it. But I have too much empathy where it ruins me because I feel too bad about something that's not even mine to feel bad about.
I don't know.
You're like, I've never experienced that.
I compartmentalize like a motherfucker in my brain. I absolutely compartmentalize. And it's like, okay, all right, we're moving on. Oh, we have seasonal depression. Let's watch an episode of Squid Games and move on with our fucking day.
I mean, that can be good. Yeah. Unless it's compartmentalizing trauma. That's not good.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's probably what it is.
It's funny, though.
But we move therapy to half the time now, so you're good now, right?
See, I have a few shows that are that comfort cured. Me, but I watch movies a lot more for comfort. Like, movies.
Yeah, I will really, say, yeah.
That's bigger for me. Anything in the Infinity Saga that's not The Incredible Hulk, and Thor the Dark World, those two. Besides, 21 out of 23 of those movies I can put on. No Way Home is a big one that I love. The original Spider-Man trilogy, especially Spider-Man 2, is a big one for me. Lord of the Rings, Back to the Future, the first two, especially the second one. The second one is like me with my blanket. Like, when I was a little kid, I had a blanket. I took it everywhere with me. I was like fucking Linus from Charlie Brown. Back to the Future 2 reminds me of being that young. And just, I remember being blown away at that movie. Like, holy fucking shit. 2015, guys. Fuck off.
Hoverboards.
Hoverboards and the DeLorean. I have so many DeLorean things. Like, I have like too much DeLorean stuff. Either way, I there's a lot of comfort movies for me. A lot of comfort movies.
Hamilton's one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do we think of Blue Beetle?
Oh God, we're still
nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah, we did the scores. We said our thoughts. We're done. This is the post show. I'm joking.
You guys brought up Susan Sarandon and how she didn't do a good job.
She did terrible.
I counter that. And this is actually probably another one of my comfort movies. I have absolutely fucking loved that woman ever since she did Enchanted. And she was the bad guy in Enchanted. She was the evil queen.
Does she act better in that movie than this one?
It was a very similar vibe. And because I love that movie so, so much. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
She's killing it.
I truly did think she was.
She plays a white bitch very well. Or the writing, but I felt like it was too ha ha ha. I'm the villain. Ha, I'm the bad guy.
Mustache twirling.
Let's take over the world. Yes, it just felt like that. And every line she said was just that. And I don't feel like she even delivered it well.
No.
She gave me nothing to feel for her or to be on her side. And I know it's a villain, you're supposed to like them, but we all know, we've talked about it before, what a good villain makes. And she does not make that. She don't fit that criteria. I need to sympathize with the villain a little bit. I need to have a reason to think you're doing what you're doing.
It goes back to the same superhero tropes, too. Oh, trying to hunt this evil thing or this thing that's been lost for the last 15 years, or probably lost longer than that, but she's been searching for it for 15 years. Oh, we found it. We don't get any explanation as to how she found it, what she was doing to find it, what brought her to it. We all of a sudden are now with this thing, and all it takes is a dude with a cheeseburger and a card, steal his badge, get in. By the way, somehow he gets back in without his badge. Not sure how that happened. And then we're off to, oh, there's this one thing we got to keep from everyone. Don't open it. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to be open. Sorry, I'm digging into the movie again. But the whole thing is just generic plot for villains. It just doesn't ever get out of that. And this is what we need. This is what, there's no reasoning. There's no discussing it. There's no talking about it. It's just, I know this is right, and it's the future. Wag my finger.
The beetle?
Yes. Like she's,
the scarab?
Yes. That's what she basically uses against...
It gives energy. Like, it was powering so much. That's the whole reason. It's like a source of power.
It wasn't just powering, though. No, because she said we got the code from it. Like, it was coding. Like, without that code, they couldn't make the super soldier.
Well, no, they mimicked... Stuff. They coded the technology of it. And to power this suit, why are we creating, that they were making.
And please fill me in. Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention. Why are we creating these super soldiers?
So they combined. They combined villains. Is OMAC?
OMAC is from Legend of the Hidden Temple. Yeah.
What was the one man army?
It
was OMAC.
One man army.
One man. It was OMAC.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Legends of the Hidden Temple. And here's your host, Kurt Fogg.
So they combined two villains. So the guy that that was her little right hand man, he's his own villain in the comics, and then OMAC is its own villain. They just made OMAC.
Why do we need a super soldier?
Like a army? Because it was supposed to be the story of in this they were making it like. To help the military.
Pretend I did not read the comics.
It was a Stark kind of thing.
Pretend I didn't.
Just like Tony drones. Stark. Yeah.
Yeah, they were going to be a suit of armor that soldiers would put on to fight. Kind of like Stark Industries was helping the military.
Or Hammer Technologies with Iron Man 2.
Yeah. Yeah, no, to your point. But that's what it is. But they changed that a little bit because in the comics, that name was its own thing. And the guy was also his own villain in Blue Beetle.
It was the guy from Legends of the Hidden Temple. And he turned bad.
Yeah.
They didn't make a great creative decision there. Like I said, I didn't like the villain side thing either. I don't know. I think the whole hero, my brain separates it like two sides of this movie and the hero, the origin. I think Sholo, the guy that plays Jaime, is charming. I think he's a sweetheart. Like, I think he's a great fit for the role and the family dynamic.
Yeah.
You guys want to hear my least favorite part of this movie?
Oh, boy.
Sorry. There was a part where they were like, hey, we got to get this suit figured out. We got to get it off of him. We got to get this key. The only way we can figure it out. And Jenny is sitting with the family at this point. They barely have known each other and they're like, okay, well, what are we going to do? She goes, hey, we're going to find a key. We got a key. We got to go get a key. No one at that point asks any questions. No one says, okay.
No. Yeah.
No one's asking about where's the key. What's the key going to do? How are we going to find the key? What are we going to do with the key when we get it? There's nothing. They're like a pack of dogs in Up where there's a ball or a squirrel and they're like, squirrel. And or mine in Madagascar, I think. Like they just completely, and that's where I think it's poor writing because
Finding Nemo.
Sorry, Finding Nemo.
She should have explained the whole like my
nothing,
dad.
Nothing.
Well, they did explain that her
not
dad
to them,
was working.
Not to them. Like right in that moment where she goes, "We got to find a key." Everyone's like, "Yeah, okay, Lynn, let's. How are we going to get this key?" Blah blah blah. It's like they just completely just dumb down every character.
Well, they think he's going to die. Like they don't know what this is in. It's in him. It's not like it's just a suit on him.
Wouldn't you have more questions at that point since it's a life and death situation rather than all right, let's get a key.
Like, well, maybe if you didn't have time to think about it, if you don't know how long he's going to live, if you don't know,
I can't imagine being around of five people and said we got to get this key and not one person asking one question after that. I just feel like it dumbs characters down. And I feel like, but when I don't,
she knew the tech, like she knew
the, explain the one
that gave it to him.
Explain that, like, explain what the key's going to do, why we're going to do it, where it's at. What, like, when they all just immediately like key, like, it feels like they're not human anymore. It just feels like plot point move. And I don't like that. It just feels,
I didn't like right after that when George Lopez's character is like, I can get us in there,
and he I can fly.
Conveniently
anything.
Has and a scrambler that can scramble the cameras.
Some tech wizard that, like, it's never explained why or how.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
And he can fly anything without any instruction, and he can break into it. And he's like the classic, I can hack anything. Give me mm-hmm. 5 minutes, and I'm going to do this. Yeah. So you guys can have
enough of that.
So you guys can have a relationship.
Tap it on the keyboard.
So you guys can develop your relationship for 5 minutes off screen while I do this off screen. You guys develop your relationship. Click, 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 click. Oh, I figured it out right when you guys were about to kiss.
We know the classic villain stuff. We could have given less time to that and more time to giving us some background of these.
And to me, it's people. Classic villain. It's classic hero. It's classic. It's just tropes. It's superhero. It's movie tropes. It's poor storytelling. It's not good. It's not. I don't know what I'm missing. I don't. But none of this felt earned. Like I said, family dynamic works great. When it goes beyond that, when they're actually trying to tell the story of the Blue Beetle, most of the time I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Anyway, I
don't know. Well, they do a whole thing in the beginning too, don't they? With the scarab, a little explainer.
Mm-hmm. And they never say why it chose him. Like, did we ever find out why the scarab chose him?
But yeah, they say something about it.
He was a virgin.
It chooses a host that it thinks will be
virgin.
The fact that you have to think
it, but they did speak on it a little bit, but they didn't go to detail. They did. She does that tell him that
protect the host.
It
at all
never
costs.
Activates, but it'll only choose a host.
I remember them saying, "Hey, it'll protect the host," but I don't remember it saying why did this scarab choose virgin
from getting played.
Well, they probably don't fucking know. It's never done it before.
But then but the whole a part of the huge plot line that never found it in thread was, this scarab chose you, and we never got that answer. It was just like, okay, we're just supposed to go along with it. Oh, okay, cool. Now what? It's like
family.
That's,
chose him because family.
Yeah, and then the like, hey, we're gonna fucking murder this shit. And then he's like, no, we can't murder. No, and then it flips at the end, and like the scarab's
because
like,
it
learned from its host. Is that what it did?
Yes, and maybe they relied too much on people knowing the comics, because Blue Beetle is kind of an obscure character anyway. They should have given us more.
Yeah, I've never read
I can see that. But in the comics, the scarabs are supposed to be used to take over, like they want to take over the planet. So they find hosts that they can use to do that. And the one that attaches to Jaime or Ted, that history, because it starts out Egyptian. But with Jaime, it bonds with him and turns good. Like, it makes him, like, it sees the good in him and doesn't want to do the things that the other ones do. And then there are other beetles. There's a green, a yellow, and a purple or something like that. And they have different powers. And they also, like, they're villains in the comics to Blue Beetle at first. But then they all turn on his side. Like, the host, the host with Jaime and the scarab develop a relationship, so it goes kind of off its mission for him.
That makes more sense. And
kind of adapts in this movie to him, like it likes him. So,
and I thought they build a relationship. I could justify that, but that's really quick for them to learn real quick with each other.
Yeah, they could have given us 10 seconds to establish that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something. I get that.
Okay, and I realized, I thought they said it in the movie, but they don't say it in the movie. They said it on the Screen Crush review that I watched, because I was kind of feeling like I don't know enough about Blue Beetle to be able to judge this movie.
Did Screen Crush like
so
it?
Yes.
God damn, man. All right,
so yeah. But they said that the scarab chose him because they were both aliens, like alien in the sense of not from Earth, but also like immigrants being also labeled aliens
where they were at.
Never in the movie do they explain that.
Okay, no.
Well, we do have George Lopez character say, sense. I don't like that term.
Like what term?
Alien.
Yeah.
When Jenny says it in their lab.
Funny because I took that as he doesn't like aliens, but you're right.
Because
he's
saying because they are aliens to there.
Yeah. And he says in the beginning, he says something about like, don't let the camera see you, or like they're recording everything. Mm-hmm. And then he also says, he makes that point about like, don't call the cops because they're going to ask for papers. Like that makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah.
So putting those two pieces together.
George Lopez's character, we keep calling him George Lopez, and I'm not faulting us for that, but it was Rudy. And Rudy's best line of this entire fucking movie was, Batman's a fascist. Sounds like, fuck yeah. I love Rudy. Make a fucking Rudy movie. I'm here for it. There was an end scene, but yeah, go on.
Well, I'm going after Batman's a fascist. I just got a $20 credit at my favorite podcast company because I joined their best friends program. I had to rejoin it because my debit card, whatever. Anyway, so I have a $20 credit and they have a shirt that says defund Batman. And I really want to get it.
That is hysterical. So there was also a part at the very end where big evil Warhammer guy is about to kill Jaime, and Jaime has all this tech on. He's readily available to fight. He's about to kill him. And Rudy's like, throws something at him, like a melon or something at him. And he's like, hey! And he looks at him. And this is a trained soldier. And he's like, gonna take my eyes and target off of you for a little bit. Gonna watch this guy. Gonna make sure I pay attention to him. Oh no, the guy with all the tech got away. Once again, dumbing your villain down. To me, and when I don't like a movie, when movies feel very hollow to me, I start peeling apart them way more. So this is a bad effect. You get me with a good story, I can look past a lot of things. You get me with a bad story, I'm going to nitpick. That made no sense to me. A trained soldier is not going to say, oh, guy with the melon's a bigger threat right now.
Well,
no.
He didn't know what hit him.
Don't
first
care.
Of all.
He looked up, takes all everything off the target. Like,
you can but go. He didn't seem that intelligent to begin with.
Okay, so dumb villain. Doesn't mean good. So it just like was bad there.
Yeah.
Second, there's a part where she's like chewing her bubble gum. We established this earlier. It's a kaboom gum. What's going to happen? And then she's like holding up Susan Sarandon's character is holding a gun towards Cord and like, hey, I'm going to kill you right now and say a bunch of generic bad guy villain shit. Blah, 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 blah. And she's like, I can't wait to see that too. Slap up against the wall, takes the gum, slaps it up against the wall, and Susan Sarandon can't just shoot her. She has to go, what? Like, just immediately. It's like, I can't. Villains are so fucking bad. And
the fight scenes were cool as shit, by the way. I love the fight scenes.
I did like the fight scenes. I can say that.
They were long.
When Jaime flies in with his family and shields them, there was like a.
I did like the
sweet spot there for me. It wasn't just about a badass fight. It was like he's going to protect his family, covers them, and then the dad dies and stuff. But what do you got, Brandon?
The dad dies, and Jaime is just getting dragged away, and no one's like, "Hey, Jaime, are you okay? What's going on? Oh God, get to him!" They all just go to the dad and ignore Jaime completely. And like,
well, he's got the suit. He's got the benefit of the doubt.
I understand, but everyone's around the father, and Jaime is getting dragged like. Hey, fuck. Hey, I'm good. And then they're like, yeah, hold on. You, oh God. And I'm like, Jaime is getting dragged off. Can someone say, holy shit, what's happening to him too? No one.
The dad's dead, though. Like, you're
cool. Something bad's about to happen to him,
man,
too.
Man, we are so different. Both times I watched this movie, I almost cried twice. I didn't cry, but I got emotional.
I cried.
That was one of the scenes.
Oh, no. I couldn't stop laughing because they're dragging him away and no one's paying attention to it.
Oh, my God.
Okay, see, I cried because I saw that candle get flipped over, and then when the dad dies, I'm like, not only did you just lose your dad, but you also lost any photographic evidence that you have of him. Like, you lost, physical memories, you know?
Printed on your phone. You got it. You're good.
But it's still, because it shows whenever that candle gets flipped over, like you see like the family portraits and the family pictures.
My favorite part was like, Judy. It's like, at the end.
They lost their home. They lost their dad. They lost the kid.
Judy comes
and they were
in.
Already losing so in society because of where they were at. They were, they show the struggle of the
they
family.
They were being evicted.
And I think they established the family enough to where it made me feel that when he dies. Like it felt heavy. And then the speech with the grandma to the daughter, mm-hmm. when she was like, you can cry, like, but
right now we're going to fight. Yeah.
I don't know. I just felt like that whole family thing helps me with the whole movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just felt sincere and sweet. And I don't know.
Yeah.
And the grandma at one point is calling out and saying, Ayúdanos, which is help us. And I know that because I'm on my 74-day streak on Duolingo. Yeah.
I'm so sorry to be the wet blanket of this show. I will refrain from any other opinions. I just I couldn't stop laughing when they drug him away and no one thought to look and offer assistance or help. They were just like,
he's wearing a fucking spacesuit.
Obviously, it's not helping him in that moment. He is literally like completely captured at that point going,
but
it's like, just,
he's not dead.
Yeah, cool. So if someone's getting abducted and in immediate danger as well, he's good. Leave him alone for a little bit. Don't pay attention to him.
But if you had to choose between the two, they didn't know he was for sure dead because they show the ambulance scene after of them trying to revive him. They're trying to get him alive. You're going to choose the person that's more in danger.
But nobody started CPR.
Yeah, no one was like, hey, we need to help him out. They were just like,
I had a training yesterday.
Damn, y'all. You took away from that scene, but the fight scenes are good. So there was that fight scene. There was the fight scene in the hallway.
I cried during that scene. I'm not taking away from that. I'm not taking away from that.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said y'all, Brandon. And then there was the fight scene in the hallway. I love that when he gets to do his Cobra Kai shit. I love him in Cobra Kai too. Mm-hmm. But that hallway scene, you know what I'm talking about? When he kicks the dudes and he's like walking and the grandma shows up with a gun.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that one part where that guy in the tech is walking through a cave and kicking some ass. And then this mentor starts shooting a gun everywhere. You know, this older mentor, that was Iron Man. Fuck. But this was a good scene too. I like that a lot.
I did not draw that parallel at all.
Sorry. Person, cave, tech, shooting.
Yeah. But it's a villain shooting with the tech. He uses hand-to-hand combat and she shows up. But he don't fly away and, like, it's not anything like that.
I know. I'm being an ass.
No, it's the same as the first Iron Man with,
dun, 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 dun.
What's his name?
That's what I was thinking of, was the cave.
No, I didn't.
Oh, there's a part where he's fighting, and I shit you not, it sounds just like the Iron Man theme song. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And it reminds me of the very first Iron Man. Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, I like the fight scenes.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then the last one, the part you think's dumb when he throws the mail and all that, I think that fight scene was cool. It did remind me of Homecoming or Far From Home. No, Homecoming. When he's fighting Vulture on the sand by the carnival. Mm-hmm. That's the vibe I got when the mask halfway comes off and he's like, it felt like that. I do agree that with that.
I agree with you too.
It was a good fight scene. I still liked it.
Yeah, that's where we disagree.
Did you not like the Homecoming scene? You didn't like that?
No, I love that because it was original.
But it was good.
Yeah, the Homecoming one
so
was
just
good.
Because this one is similar, you didn't like it. Even though the first one was good.
Homecoming was great. This one was the Wish version of that.
Okay.
It's
racist.
It's Tima now.
You asshole! You fucking asshole! Throw that at me. Oh my god. No, sorry. I
went to my coworker. Listen, this I make that joke, but I have two Mexican coworkers, and one of them is my manager and one is like a really good friend of mine. You've met her, Joanna. Well, you met both of them, Joanna and George.
Yeah.
George is our manager now. He got promoted. He's the one that got the job. I went to, because there's a lot of Spanish in this, right? And like family culture of, you know, I told them, I went to Joanna and she had a customer, but they weren't talking because they were doing a transfer. And I went to Joanna. I was like, you need to go watch Blue Beetle. I think you would really like it. And I want to know, like, is it pretty on point with the culture? And she was like, you racist. And I was like, what? It's like, I'm not trying to be racist. I just feel like you'd enjoy it because it really speaks to that, you know? So, yeah, I got called a racist.
Wonderful.
Isn't that congratulations.
Don't know where we go from there. Well, so Clinton got called a racist. End scene.
And then I told George the same thing and he called me.
There were a couple things that I don't know. Screen Crush pointed out to me that I didn't realize were like Hispanic like culture things. Like at one point, whenever they're flying the ship, Nana pulls out a lemon, and that's like a Hispanic thing. And then the Vicks vapor rub to wake somebody up.
The vapor rub thing, I recognized. There's something I've seen before that talked about that it's used for everything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that that's uniquely Hispanic, though, because I fucking hate that smell. I used to hate getting sick because my grandpa hated used that it shit. Too, oh,
on
God.
Everything.
It brought me back as soon as I saw it. It made me laugh. Yeah. That was good.
Speaking of bringing something back, this was the first movie in a minute that I had a moment where I was like, you might be a fucking bad guy.
Might be a bad guy.
I apologize to everyone for that. That was 100% on me. When Susan Sarandon's character says anything, target the family.
Anything. When she says anything, she might be a bad guy.
Okay, all right. But I feel like she's somebody who I can watch do generic villain and I'm okay with it.
That's cool.
Because I feel like she's very much that part. Have you seen Enchanted?
That is your bias talking. That is all it is, because it is a generic villain and it's terrible. I'm sorry.
But that's not all her. She's amazing.
I think Sarandon can act. I think she knew the script and she played to how hokey it was. She didn't try to go beyond it. And I don't blame her one bit. If I read the script, I'd play it the exact same.
Quiet quitting.
Yeah. It was just more like, okay, I mean, who the fuck is going to see this? A couple 7-year-olds? I mean, and I just really insulted a big portion of the audience who saw this and liked it. I think she read it and thought that. I think she was just like, okay, this is gonna be like, all right, yeah, meh. Anyway, did she say specifically that made you say you might be a bad guy? Sorry.
Yeah, that specifically, but also, yeah. I mean, I agree, but I think I'm okay with seeing it from Sarandon. I don't know that I would be okay with seeing it from other people.
Yeah.
She can do no wrong. The bad guy's suit to me looked like a mixture of Juggernaut, Optimus Prime, a little bit of Zordon with the face, and a little bit of Gundam.
The Hammer Tech?
Yeah, the bad guy. Ignacio, I think, was his name.
Gotcha.
I think his name was Ignacio, but then I think she calls him a different name later. So I'm not really sure. Which, speaking of names,
Sanchez, he's racist as fuck, by the way.
Sanchez was the saddest part of this movie. Whenever he gets out his full name and then he is murdered by freaking Murderbot and there's blood, like blood splatter. Like, I didn't expect to see that. No, but it was, I was like,
gruesome.
He had his, like, I'm going to stand up bird. And his name was very long and I don't know it, but it was beautiful, and it was like, oh, yes. And then I was like, shit.
All over the door.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, she was racist as shit.
Yeah, she kept getting everyone. She didn't give two fucks about anybody.
No, not at all.
Yeah, well, okay, so if you equally don't give a shit about anybody, are you actually racist, or are you just a horrible human being?
Then you're a sociopath.
Well, she purposely wouldn't remember their names or anything, called them the wrong names, even though they corrected her. Like, she just...
Because they're not important to her. And nothing's important to her. It's only what she puts time and money and investment into that's important.
Could that also be classist, though? Like, maybe anybody who's below her?
Yes, yes, yes.
Can be.
I'm just saying.
I think we're giving her more...
I don't know why I'm arguing. Devil's advocate for the piece of shit human being.
I think the girl that played Jenny Cord was gorgeous. I just needed to say that.
I just saw every writing on the wall. Yeah, it's like, there's romantic love interest. There's like, I'm just over like knowing what's going to happen. I'd like to be surprised. And when I just could see things well before, and I was like, oh gosh. And she couldn't talk about any of her past without crying to me. I think Jenny was just, I don't know. She served the narrative and the plot that she was meaning to serve, and it was a very shallow one at that. I do look forward to her father being explored more, speaking of post-credit scene in the second movie. I think that could be really interesting. Wish that was this movie. But either way. And also, oh, cool, she's got the beetle. She's got the scarab, but she's not going to be the hero. She's going to hand it to some random dude, and he's going to be the hero. Here we go. Just felt very... all over again. I don't know. It
didn't choose her. It didn't act, she didn't expect it to activate.
Right.
Because it never had before.
Yeah.
I called very early on that her dad was not dead because they made it very clear to point out to us that he disappeared, not died.
Exactly.
Not died.
And it was like,
and okay. They just suspected he was dead.
Yeah. Like, that's very explicit. Thank you for that. Absolutely zero mystery going into the end of the movie. But I, what it lacked, I feel like, with Jenny's character, I feel like made up for with Nana and the sister.
I loved the sister.
Like feminine.
Yeah.
Characteristics wise.
I just love the sister because she was strong. She was going to call her brother out for any bullshit right away, which
was that's some sibling shit. And you know what I mean?
I like that a lot. I love my favorite part. They're cleaning the bottom of the chair. She sticks it up there. She's like, job security, bro. Like, she is funny as hell too. Like, I could have watched a movie with those two just as siblings. I thought it was a really good, like, the movie started out great because those two were the focal point at the beginning for me.
Yeah.
And notice his jacket was Gotham Law?
I did.
So he was in law school.
He was in law Gotham. School in Gotham. I'm like, how did you survive Gotham? Cray. You know, like the way Batman movies are is like, the whole town shut down and we can't get out. Like, it's like, and he's just like, I went to law school at Gotham. Like, I just can't imagine he doesn't have some shit stories to tell. Like, God, I've seen some shit, dude. But either way, I love the sister. Nana was pretty cool to a point when it got to just her completely just bazooka. I can't say that. A big gun. She's just shooting.
Bazooka-ing?
That's really hard for me to say. Bazooka-ing.
It wasn't a bazooka. It was a...
I know. It was a fucking big turret. Like a big... Fucking. Looked like... did you ever play Team Fortress 2?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, there's the class called the Heavy, and he carries a gun that looks like that, in my opinion. Either way, like, when it got to that point, and she's just, like, killing people, and she's, like, laughing about it. I know. I get it, because they explained why she's got that pass to her. But then, like later on in the movie, she's like... like, I just saw you lug a huge-ass gun, no issue. But then she's like... to Walker. It's like,
what?
Which one are you? I don't know what character are you? Are you a badass grandma or are you just a grandma? I don't know, but either way, she was comic relief when she needed to be.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't hate that.
Oh, I'm sorry we're boring you.
Clinton was yawning while I was talking about grandma.
I feel like the second act lost me more than the first.
Oh, I thought the third act. It was just too long.
Well... maybe I'm thinking the third act, but when they get the beetle ship thing from there on, it felt weird, felt different.
Yeah. Like the fact that he could just fly, there's weapons at the ready. How long has her dad been gone? Are they charged? Why are they charged? What kind of maintenance is being done on them?
Mm-hmm.
I had some questions.
And he kicks everything to make it work. And
why wouldn't the suit boot up?
Mm-hmm.
What suit?
The scarab.
Yeah, scarab stops working for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
It's like rebooting.
Oh, yeah.
Because it served the plot.
For danger.
Yeah, it served the plot. Oh, I got
you. I do. Can we talk about the suit? You didn't like the suit?
It felt very, to me, am I crazy for thinking it looked like the Iron Man suit? Like, am I crazy?
No,
it did.
No, it did not. It did not.
It did.
It looks, oh my God, it's so comic accurate to the Blue Beetle comics.
I think he looks like that in the comics too. I think it looked very like Iron Man-y.
Iron Man.
Okay. Agree to disagree, bitch. Sorry. I just got really heated.
That's usually what happens. It's so funny. Even if you Google like Blue Beetle and Iron Man, it's immediately pops up. Like, it's a common thing. Like, everyone's
One's red, first of all, and one's blue.
Okay, look, minus the and colors. Also, and you know what? Brandon like can't tell the colors apart anyway.
It's symbiotic.
Thanks, you colorblind fuck. I'm colorblind. Like, I can't tell. Just joking.
And you can tell with, like, the torso, it's, like, to his skin. It's not a suit on it. It's, like, symbiotic on him.
They look similar, bro.
No, and then, fucking Blue Beetle has a mouth.
So does Iron Man, but it's just the cleftedness.
It don't move. Iron. This one, I like the way they did it with the movie live action because it would be weird, but in the comics, he has a mouth.
Like, oh, but in the movie, he doesn't, right? Because I was going to say, I didn't see that at all.
He doesn't have a mouth, but I do like the way that the mask just moves.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
You didn't like the bottom part? Well, like, you, if you watch it again or look online, like, it moves when he talks.
Yeah.
I'll have to look.
All you
to
have
give
to,
the appearance of it, like, against his skin instead of
the
suit.
My only counter argument to everything you're going to say is the fact that I can Google Iron Man Blue Beetle and there's 5,000, 10,000.
I could fucking probably do that with 1,000 different things.
My whole point is, we're not the only ones that are making this connection, is my whole point. You're like, no, it doesn't. Other people have obviously thought the same thing.
You just got them side by... It just shows them side by side. What's that proving?
You know who else looks like Iron Man? Ironheart. What the fuck is up with that? God, that fell flat. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So anyway... Clinton, I think, I saw your smirk and I saw Emmy laugh, but I just think, yeah.
I Googled Batman, Iron Man, and there's pictures of them side by side. Holy shit. Yeah, that means everyone thinks they're the same.
They're both fascists.
defund Iron Man.
Your argument isn't very strong, Brandon, is my point. I can Google any two characters and there'll be pictures of them side by side.
Okay.
But do they look alike?
I'm going to.
Here, Google.
That's what Brandon's stance is, but. You can do that.
It is an opinion. And yes,
the direct.com, the very first search result when I Google Blue Beetle Iron Man, HBO Max's Blue Beetle looks a lot like Iron Man. That is what they said.
HBO Max's.
It was supposed to be an HBO Max movie, which I think is more apt, but they decided to release it in theaters.
Oh,
that's from the direct.
Okay, here, Green Lantern, Lantern, and Deadpool. I bet you can find a picture of them together, but I bet it's not comparing their looks.
Yeah, I think it's probably the Ryan Reynolds connection.
I get more.
I didn't make that connection. I was trying to go. Damn, I wasn't trying to connect them at all. Shit.
Wait, fuck me. What was the three characters?
I was just trying to think of two random ass characters.
Oh, two random. Excuse me. Two characters. Yeah, you Green Lantern and Devil. You thought that was original?
Yeah, I obviously that pathway is still.
I thought you were making the point that
you
they can
think these two things look alike.
Good God, Clinton! How many times are we going to say the same thing in a different way on a podcast?
I just don't see it. I don't think they look alike.
Okay.
Right, well, you're not using your eyeballs then.
Obviously.
Like, the way his torso is and everything, it's so different.
Mm-hmm. It is different, but they look similar. Yes, I understand.
How do they look similar?
I understand that the colors are different.
No, not the colors, but, like, I think the impression of Iron Man gives me the impression that it's a metal suit.
Ask a question and then not listen to my answer. I love it. It's like my students at school.
Ugh. I just don't.
God. No. Okay. So, first of all, you're saying that his is form fitting and Iron Man's is not. Okay. Fine. But they're still two tone suits, right? They still have the slitty eye mask thing. Like, their eyes look very similar. They're both rectangles.
No, the eyes look nothing alike. Tony's are rectangle and metal suit with a glow. His are eyes and they're normal eyes shaped and they're yellow.
DC's ScreenRant.com.
He looks more like Screen fucking Rant. Spawn than he does Iron Man.
ScreenRant.com.
I don't know who that is.
ScreenRant.com. Second one that pulls up. DC's Blue Beetle trailer makes it look like Iron Man mixed with Spider-Man Homecoming.
Suck it.
The movies. That's not saying the look. It's saying
are you
movie.
On this planet? What the fuck are we talking about? We've been talking about the movies the whole fucking time.
No, y'all are saying the way they look.
it. Oh my god, I'm done at this point.
In the goddamn movies, bro.
Oh my god, I don't know what you're arguing about then.
I'm saying that sounds like to me that they're saying that this movie looks like a mix of these two movies, not that it's their looks.
Okay. All right,
and I could be wrong. Movies,
look. He were there.
It doesn't
look.
Say Blue Beetle. Okay, you know. Okay, so you think in that trailer alone, it looks like Iron Man the movie, the first one, and Spider-Man Homecoming the movie. Okay.
Well, I can see where they're drawing comparisons because of the tech, because it's tech.
I don't want to have this conversation anymore because it is honestly
I think it looks like Spawn. It's okay. I'm sorry.
I'm
probably the minority here, but I don't see him. When I look at him, I don't go, oh, that reminds me of, it does not remind me of Iron Man in the slightest. His powers remind me a lot of Green Lantern, where he can just form whatever he wants. That reminds me of Green Lantern.
This is
who has nothing in common with Deadpool. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, wow. DC's Blue Beetle trailer brutally trolled for allegedly being too similar to Marvel films. Clearly trying to capture that Iron Man 1 vibe. This is from koimoi.com.
Seems like a reputable site.
I like koimoi.com. It's wonderful.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't either. I'm
what is it like I'm a totally, nerd news thing?
I have no idea. I've never been on this one before.
Okay. We see it different. I'm probably alone in this.
When
I watched the
people.
Movie, I didn't think Iron Man with the way he looked at all. It never crossed my brain.
With the way he looked. Fine, sure, whatever. The flying fighting, the whiplash comparison.
The like only part I did think Iron Man was whiplash, and that was with the whips on the suit.
Yeah. Whenever he went like beast mode, like they
I thought Dragon Ball Z.
They had a song playing. And it was Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue. Which I feel like is a TVU version of AC/DC classic rock again. I mean, if you want to go there, let's go there.
Oh shit. Emmy is on the full bandwagon now and I love it. I'm here for it.
I didn't think of that. I did. Sorry.
I did. I mean, it's a badass song. It was a badass scene, but it's like, yeah, AC/DC. And then
when he goes crazy at the end and shoots the thing, I thought Dragon Ball Z Kamehameha with Goku. That's what I thought of. I was like, oh, this is, he's going Super Saiyan.
The direct.com.
Oh, but I'm sorry. You thought of something else? Like, this isn't original? This is
that wasn't the argument. I agreed with you that it wasn't original.
The direct.com, and this is my last statement. I apologize. Reyes' superhero suit appears to take inspiration from the MCU's Iron Man, with it possessing many visual similarities to the Armored Avenger, the direct.com. And I am done. I rest my case.
Suck it.
I disagree. I don't remember Iron Man having a big beetle on his back that wrapped around to his torso.
No, he had an arc reactor.
He had the nanotech behind him that came out and did cool shit like that. Yeah. It wasn't a straight up beetle because he wasn't like, you know, naked.
Beetle Man.
Beetleborg, the movie.
It's technically not a beetle at all. It's a scarab. It has nothing to do with.
Isn't a scarab just a beetle?
No, because it's called a scarab.
Isn't a scarab the Egyptian name for beetle?
I don't know. Probably.
I can't bring my legs up. My cat. Well, now I've. My cat is in my lap. And
I think it should be called Junebug. That would
be awesome. Now I got to Google it.
Junebug coming to HBO Max. Just kidding. We're going to charge you money at a theater for it. And it did give vibes like a straight to streaming movie. Now that I forgot it was.
Well, that's what it was intended for.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like if it was on HBO Max, I could even probably be like, okay, it's a streaming movie. All right, cool. I can, you know, but I don't know. It would make a little more sense to me. A little more. That sounds mean. Sorry, Emmy.
A scarab is a large dung beetle in the Eastern Mediterranean area.
No way. The thing he is made from is something that rolls shit. Are you serious?
A dung beetle, yeah.
Oh my God. I had no idea. That's even better.
Excuse me. A large dung beetle. But only blue poop. None of that brown shit. Literally. Blue.
We did feel blue at the start of this. Golly, I know every one star review, that's on me, because we're gonna get several of them. There's gonna be a lot.
Oh no, it's fine. People should know by now that we disagree on some things sometimes.
I know, but
and I still feel like I waffled between the two of you. Like I really did enjoy the movie. I thought it was a tad long, and I do have qualms with it. I have some issues. But like I said, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I didn't hate that I saw it.
Mm. Yeah. At the
end. I also didn't hate that I didn't pay to see it. What?
This is just a DC character that I like. And I was excited to see this movie.
I'm sorry. I brought
and this he's up. Fun. And if you play Injustice 2, he's a fun character in that game too. Makes me want to play it again, actually. That game
I used
fun.
To play it all the time. I was Aquaman every fight. I loved being Aquaman.
Ew.
I would summon a shark and just go fucking crazy. I loved it. And I would use the staff and I would like hit it on the ground so people would just keep falling down over and over.
Oh, that shit. That move pisses me off when I fight people. Oh my God.
It was the most, it was the boogie bomb.
It's that kick. It's the kick of that.
Yeah.
Of, you know how like Mortal Kombat people just kick or uppercut you over and over and over. People do that shit.
Me. Oh yeah. Me. I always played as the yellow scorpion and I would just uppercut the fuck out of people. My ex used to get so mad at me because I'd be like, hey, come over here.
There was a scorpion reference in this movie. Wasn't there?
Get over here.
He did that. So fun.
Which I thought was clever because DC has a good relationship with mm-hmm. NetherRealm, yeah. which is
a little
because they do the games. I thought that was a good little
wink and a nod.
Yeah, that was great.
I like that too.
No, you're thinking of the Nether region mm-hmm. on Big Brother right now. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Big Brother currently, season 25, they do have a place called the Nether region.
No, they don't.
And nobody at that at CBS was like, maybe we shouldn't call it that.
And you know, because CBS execs were like, that was funny.
Gen Z's will like this.
Balls.
I don't think they thought of it. But yeah, they pull people into the Nether region, just like I do.
we brought you home.
I had a couple other points that I wanted to get to.
Of course.
For example, did you guys notice the talkies in the back? Have you guys had talkies? Is this something that you guys are aware of? Because literally
the
my
food?
Kids,
yes,
my students will lick the floor for a bag of talkies.
Are they,
I don't ask them to do that.
Are they, they're rolled chips or something like that? Yeah.
They're like really spicy rolled up Doritos.
Mm, yeah. I've had a couple. I like them. They're good.
If you don't like talkies, or if you do, it doesn't matter. One of my students years ago told me to dip them in sour cream. Absolutely ruins the sour cream. So if you're going to do it in the tub, don't do that. But
that sounds good.
It is amazing.
Really?
Amazing.
Okay.
I don't like Takis, but if you dip them in sour cream, amazing.
I'm curious to try that. That sounds like an interesting combo that would work.
I've had it too. Like people's houses as an appetizer before because I'm a lazy son of a bitch.
Clinton is fighting me in our chat.
You started it. You sent something.
You said they're nothing alike. You all were podcasting. You're messaging me in our Avengers chat like, fuck you, you're wrong.
You messaged me first in the chat. What do you mean?
Make that was
me
while we were having a conversation about it. We've moved on. This was during
the conversation. Yeah, but I just now got to look at my phone.
Literally,
and I responded.
Clinton's like, "Fuck you, fucking bitch, fucking hate you."
Nothing alike,
fucker. Me.
I also loved the embarrassing family dynamic. I'm just moving on. I'm just acting like you guys aren't here. I love the embarrassing family dynamic whenever he goes to the Cord building, mm-hmm. and they're all like honking and screaming and cheering for him, and he's like, "They don't get out much." Like it just, it's so. I feel that like the embarrassing family that's just like so. Behind you, like it's just sweet. It's just really sweet. And then whenever they all freak out after bullying him to open this thing, and he's like, I told her I wouldn't open it. And they're like, well, you gotta open it. And then it does, and then they freak out.
They do, and they lose their shit. And I did like, I think the family dynamic, I know we've brushed across it pretty quickly. But what I did love about this movie, I do want to take some time that you said that, especially like they're cheering him on, you know, for his job interview, and they're there for him, besides when he's getting dragged away and they just completely don't know he exists anymore. I think there was always a strong family dynamic tie throughout the entire thing. Sometimes it feels a little forced, sometimes, but actually no, very little of the time it feels forced. Most of the time it feels very genuine and earned. And I think all the family played an instrumental part at different times. And that was really, really cool to see. And also where you made a great point where it's always the dark and brooding loner, like the Batman or, you know, mm-hmm. or the, you know, the one that's lost it all, you know, that's usually who you see. And I know we've seen other dynamics with family throughout superhero movies, Hawkeye, you know, that is a family dynamic, even though he is.
But real, like,
yeah, but this one felt very different where his strength was his family. Like that is what grounded yeah. him and kept him going, where others, they have families. This was like his strength was his family, which I love that they turned that on its head a little bit.
Yeah, because you think Iron Man didn't have a family. Captain America didn't have a family. Spider-Man's only got Aunt May. Peter doesn't have a family. Peter Quill doesn't have a family. Like, it's just, and Drax doesn't have a family. Like, there's so many that don't. And then you've got, like, Yelena and Natasha who have a family, but it's so tumultuous. Carol, not even tumultuous. It's almost, like, non-existent.
Let's literally go through this for a second. Hold on. I'm gonna play a fun game. Iron Man. No, he's a loner. He does have Pepper, though, but no, I wouldn't consider that a family. I consider that a partner. Incredible Hulk. Loner.
But he's, yeah, and he starts off not having a family.
Thor.
Iron Man 1.
Thor loses his brother, his mother, and his father. Loses his entire family, which is kind of the superhero trope. Captain America, besides banging Peggy and her niece, didn't really have any family. That sounded fucked up.
besides banging his niece.
Peggy and
he doesn't have
any. Excuse me, Peggy family. And Peggy's niece. That sounded weird. Peggy and Peggy's niece. And then, so, yeah, no. Ant-Man has a daughter and has Hope. And kind of a little bit more family dynamic there, maybe. Doctor Strange, by himself, all by his lonesome. Black Panther, family, but he loses.
He loses everybody, basically.
He loses.
And now that Black Panther is taken up by Shuri.
Yeah, she lost her father, she lost her mother, and she lost her brother. So she's yeah. kind of similar in Thor. I know we talked about
this. What are we doing now? I'm sorry.
Heroes without families. Like how much of a prominent thing is. That's what happens.
We're listing all the sad sacks.
Yeah. I think that's really I'm trying to think. You know, those are main characters, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dog was attacking my neighbor, so I had to handle that. My bad.
Why was your neighbor in your yard?
They live downstairs.
Or your house.
To walk in front of my we oh. have yeah you've been here.
I watched you both yeah, look yeah. out the window together, you and your dog. So did you say let's go downstairs and fuck this dude up? Is that what
no, no. So I heard a thud. I thought someone was knocking at the door and Domino did too. That's why I looked out my window.
Then you were like,
and
then let's I fuck went. Him up.
I put on his collar because he'll fly out the door. And so I opened the door and the neighbor was actually coming from downstairs. Like they have to walk through my yard. And I guess it's where they had shut the door downstairs. And I thought it was a knock. And he was really cool. So we introduced ourselves and he petted Domino. It was a whole thing. But Domino gets...
You haven't met your downstairs neighbor yet?
Huh?
Attacked?
You haven't met your downstairs neighbor yet?
That's not... It's her boyfriend.
Ah, it's the one that comes over and, you know.
Ship-a-da-ba-bang.
Time to...
I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
Was that not the McDonald's jingle?
We introduced
no,
each
no,
other
no.
and shook hands.
They're doing the Wendy's because they're trying to find these nuts and they're wondering when these nuts. They're wondering where the beef is. Okay, so
okay. My biggest comparison that I saw when I watched things or read things with him,
Spider-Man.
There was a TikTok and it was pretty funny and it was like I'm a big comic book nerd and I love these, so I love Blue Beetle and he's like. He has like a slideshow mm-hmm. of the comparison with Ant-Man and like the story and family and mm-hmm. all that. That made sense to me.
I was trying to figure out why I felt that connection to Ant-Man while I was watching the movie because them being two insects, like, I don't think that's enough of a connection. And like, I don't know. I couldn't figure out, but I did feel, I felt that in my heart. I felt
the daughter of, it was like the daughter of the person that had the tech he gets with.
Yes, yes.
The guy
yes.
disappeared into the quantum realm, but now his dad's gone too. Like, there was a lot of comparisons with that.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys. Go ahead.
The bad guy of this movie wanted the tech for themselves, just like the first Ant-Man with whatever his name was.
MODOK, but what was his actual name?
Fucking
Wesley. No.
What was his
Jackson?
What was his like villain name though?
Wasp.
No, that's her.
Oh no, Yellowjacket.
Yellowjacket, that's it. Yeah.
Sorry, I saw them both. I don't care.
Love how you were like Wasp.
The things that sting, I will absolutely fuck up.
There was you could draw a heavy comparison there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I could see that. And I did, and it was funny. I think it was Renee I think Renee said it in the theater. She's like, this is just like that Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Tech with the Wasp. Or excuse me, fuck, Yellowjacket. Shit. I did it too. God bless it.
I enjoyed the movie. Sorry. Brandon can suck it. And
let us
I like
know,
the color blue.
And let us know if Blue Beetle looks similar to Iron Man. Yeah, this has been probably the most heated we've been since Civil War.
I wasn't even heated. My heart rate didn't even go up.
Mine didn't either, but that tells us we've really come a long way in our relationship.
You're a bitch.
Now my heartbeat's going. Now I just want to punch you in the fucking face.
Brawl.
Emmy, what's your question?
Okay. I have a question. I want to do a science lesson.
No, the answer is no, you cannot do that.
Yeah, if that's the question, fuck no.
What to do with? No, that's not my question. Okay. Would you want to have powers if you always woke up wherever you were, possibly in public, naked?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. I have no problem. I have no problem with the dick hanging out if I get to be a superhero. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my dick's small? Well, you can't fly, you stupid fuck.
Right now, Clinton, like right now, Clinton just says, oh, yeah, my dick's small? All right.
zoom. I'm gonna zoom out of here. See ya.
He skirts okay. out.
I think honestly also, yes. But I do think that I would try at least to have some sort of
hey, it's Tic Tac Man.
What?
It's Tic Tac.
They call him Ant Man because his dick's small and he appears everywhere naked.
Tic Tac Man.
Tic Tac Man. Oh, love it.
All right. You guys want some Spanish lessons?
Mm. I thought we were getting science lesson. Are we getting science or Spanish lessons? Do not fit both.
Did I say science?
You did say science.
Oh, I didn't mean science. I meant Spanish.
Oh, my God.
If you can't decipher science and Spanish in the English language, I don't want to hear your Spanish.
I think it's time to wrap up.
Sorry. I'm tired. I'm very tired. Okay. So at one point, Rudy says, le subio por el culo, which means it went up his ass. So, okay. I'm going to teach you all of the bad words that I know in Espanol, all right? Culo is ass, all right? Pendejo,
no, culo, dumbass. Culo is a rapper from the 90s. He had those, I'm pretty sure he had those little...
That's Coolio.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Culo is ass. Pendejo, dumbass. You have puta is bitch, so hijo de puta is...
I knew that.
Son of a bitch. That might be all I know.
That was
I know fuck. I know fuck. It's like I don't know.
Is it time to get let's get Google involved. Fuck.
I know I don't know fucking anymore either, Emmy.
All right. Well,
it has been a minute.
Fuck in Spanish. And I love that we can hear these. So here we go. We're gonna listen to fuck in Spanish.
Oh boy.
Oh here.
Mierda.
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 That is fucking
mierda. Mierda means shit.
No, it means fuck.
Not in Spanish. Mierda.
I don't know. I'm going to trust Google over you. I'm just going to be perfectly frank with you.
I learned what why means today in Arabic.
Hold on.
Or how to say it, not what it means.
Shit in Spanish is mierda as well. What the fuck?
Huh.
What the fuck?
Caca also means shit.
What the? Why is fucking Spanish the same?
Leish.
I don't.
Leish is why in Arabic?
Quraysh. I can't roll it like the like Arabic's very guttural.
Yeah. I'm not good at that.
And guttural languages sound so aggressive when people are talking.
That's
German, Arabic, like that deep throat, like from the back of the throat languages seem so like, I'm like, are aggressive. They arguing? Yeah.
Okay.
They're not.
We have a lot of parents who speak Akateco, which is an unwritten Mayan dialect.
Really?
Yeah. Which is, it's completely unwritten. So like, it's really neat, but when they have conversations, when we have translators and interpreters like in our school, I'm like,
they're arguing.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, what is that parent saying? And the interpreter's like, she said, thank you guys very much for everything that you're doing. It just sounds like, fuck you guys and fuck everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a verb for fuck in Spanish. It is
joder.
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 It's J-O-D-E-R.
Joder.
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 And I love that Google has fuck and it's verified. I'm going to try to see if I can get it to say, like in the bottom corner, it says verified fuck. So I'm going to play the verified fuck.
Fuck.
That made all three of us fuck. Laugh at the same time.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck. To the entire Spanish-speaking population that listens to this show, I am very sorry. Like I said, I'm on day 74 of Duolingo. I am trying. Estoy quiero aprender español, pero estoy muy estúpido.
I drink tequila sometimes.
And on that note, we're done. Blue Beetle! I hope you enjoyed this wild and crazy off the rails ride. I think we talked about the movie a little bit, argued about it more than anything.
Nah.
DC's nuts. That's why we call it that. Amy, are we
I mean, I have a credit scene.
Okay.
I have a good one.
All right. Well,
no, you don't.
Guys, if you.
I've lost. You give some people so many chances and they just keep letting you down. You stop giving them chances.
I kind of don't disagree with that. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on the Avengers podcast. Guys, a quick way to support the show, free way to support the show, is a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. Leaving one on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you agreed or disagreed with our thoughts, we're just here for entertainment purposes only. So we hope we made you smile, laugh, and maybe educated you a little bit on how to say fuck in Spanish. So if not.
Hold there.
Hold there. What was shit again?
Merde.
Merde.
Poo poo.
Caca.
Merda. I think I'm saying merde is French.
Oh, okay.
Shakaka.
We hope we taught you something. So guys, if you like the show, 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice, it really goes a long way with us getting eyes and ears on this beautiful podcast of ours. And we greatly appreciate it. Next week we are going to be reviewing the new season, I guess, is what you call it, our new series of mini episodes of I Am Groot. So we're going to be...
Yo estoy Grooto.
Okay. So we're going to review that. We hope you'll join us for that mini series. We will always have fun reviewing Groot. I'm just going to redo our original art because I was really proud of that. We're going to do that for our second collection of episodes. I don't know what the fuck they're calling it. Either way, we're gonna watch it, we're gonna talk about it. Should be a nice, fun, breezy, way less combative episode of the Avengers podcast. We hope you'll join us for that review, and we look forward to it.
Can we talk about Star Wars instead? Can we do Ahsoka instead?
Ooh. Ooh.
No, because I don't want to watch it.
Oh, fuck
it's
off.
So good.
Fuck off.
Have you watched it, Brandon?
I have not, but I want to, and I love Ahsoka from the Clone Wars.
I don't know what the budget was for this, but I feel like they did such a damn good job.
All the Star Wars shows have been out of this world.
And the Marvel, like, they just fuck it up. But like the Star Wars stuff, man,
it's more hit than miss for me. The Star Wars stuff.
Yeah,
for the
can Disney we become Plus a series. Star Wars podcast?
All right.
No.
Welcome to the Star Bingers. We are.
We're motherfucking Star Boys.
What Star people?
Can we be Stardix? I think Stardix.
Did you say Stardix?
Stardix, yeah.
Star genitalia.
What do you say? We come on here, we review some Star Wars, we listen to Starboy, we eat some Star Crunch. What do y'all think?
I can bring some Starburst if you'd like.
Oh, that'd be fucking phenomenal.
Great.
We'd have a great time.
We'll podcast under the stars. It'll be a fucking great time.
Oh, brilliant. That's all I got.
You just kept like, yeah, cool. Like the last two, you didn't
come
have
on,
any,
get out of here.
You didn't have any star references. You were just like, yeah,
full,
yeah.
Keep, full yeah. Italian on the brilliant.
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 I love when Emmy does her Italian impression. She has to bounce. She's like, brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. You got to bounce. I'm really sorry.
This is my Italian. Oh, my God. We apologize to any Italians we've offended. We are just... We grew up on Mario, which is not okay. All right, we are out of here. Thank you so much for listening to the Avengers podcast. Before we head on out, Emmy's got a credits name. We're going to get to it. We're going to say it's not funny. We're going to say some final words.
All right. Do y'all remember the joke that people used to do in elementary school? And it was like, say all my life and then say a leave. So please, 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 all my life and say a leave.
And say what?
A leave. Like the painkiller.
All my life, a leave.
Okay. All my life. And then say Advil.
All my life, Advil.
All right. All my life, Tylenol.
All my life, Tylenol.
Okay. And then the joke was all my life and now say Bengay.
All my life I've been gay, motherfucker. You got a problem with it?
Okay. All right, wait. Okay, so our second assistant director, say all my life.
All my life.
Been white.
Oh, that is a fact. Golly, all my life been white. Is that his name, Ben White?
Ben White.
It was actually a good setup. I kind of liked it. Yeah, lame name, good setup. So I'll give you a pass. I think that's a solid 6 out of 10.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. Did nobody else remembers that?
I never played life, that Ben game. Gay? I never played
maybe
that.
Maybe you were supposed to say no. Ben Gay all my life. Shit, I don't remember, but yeah. Okay.
You keep saying all my life, and I just think the Casey and JoJo song.
All my life.
Maybe so I like you. Okay, all right.
All right, guys.
Okay. Fair enough.
Thank you for joining us. We're heading on out of here. Clinton, Emmy, any final words? Before we call it a blue balls beetle.
Blue dung beetle.
Donde estabas, pendejo? Y le subió por el culo. Hold on.
That means see ya.
Bon voyage. That was French again.